podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap. What score would we have beat Everton by, Gareth?
4-0.
4-0. John, what score would we beat Everton by?
I think they'd have got one, so 3-1.
3-1. Andy, what score would we beat Everton by?
5-0.
5-0, excellent stuff. Gareth, the right decision was reached last week. I was absolutely gobsmacked when they said games were still going to go ahead on Thursday. Genuinely, really, really surprised when it was business as usual. The Arteta thing, I think it brings it home for people who live and work in football, and that live and work in football isn't as simple as just the lads who run around on the pitch, but it really brought it home to me that something had to give, something had to change, and the Arteta thing does that.
I think you know, common sense has prevailed, and as you say, as soon as you see players and managers and like a rash of clubs saying that they had an issue with it, then it was then that you thought they've got to do something here, and common sense has prevailed. I mean, I think what's still mad for me is that, you know, you're still seeing other things go on though. You know, so over the weekend, you know, there was still rugby and rugby league and stuff like that. I think there was a Stereophonics concert, which Everton was tweeting about. And it was like, does someone want to like get a grip of this? I mean, I know we're not here to have a political conversation about the handling of the coronavirus, and I'm no health expert, but it makes no sense to me that, you know, on the left hand, football is off, and on the right hand, other sports with crowds continue. Look, it's horrible from the sort of selfish Liverpool fan, I've been waiting to see the league title for 30 years point of view. But from a, I care about myself and my family, and I don't want the NHS to be overrun and wiped out and people not be able to get the treatment they need, then yeah, the right decision was made.
I mean, it's one thing worrying about Premier League football, and it's clubs in League One and League Two, never mind non-league,
yeah,
who for this will finish them off unless there's some kind of scheme put together or some help. Because, you know, you look at TV rights cover most of our revenue. Every club in the Premier League is TV money. But the further you go down, the less and less. It's absolutely crackers. And as you said, everyone's rushing to get their opinion out, when really we just need to take time. I think everyone just needs to step back, take time, and come up with something that works for everyone. But I think the safety of these clubs at that level has got to be the priority, and not Premier League clubs, to be frank.
Listen, different communities across the country will have the different things that they focus upon, which may well ebb away under these circumstances, under the ability of people not being able to congregate together en masse. But it is fair to say, it's times like this, you remember the extent to which so much of Liverpool's economy actually focuses on things around football.
Yeah, no, it does. Liverpool comes alive when there's football on. You know, that's the when we're not in Europe, you really notice it. And, you know, not just from an economy point of view, but also the vibrancy. Do you know what I mean? Like, generally speaking, it's great to see. They come here, they spend the money, they enjoy it. And Liverpool feels, you know, a livelier place and a more fun place to kind of live and work. And on weekends, obviously, for home games, people come from all over now, and you know, I'm proud of that. I'm not one of these to kind of moan about that, really, you know, because I want people to come to the city, I want people to enjoy it, I want them to come back when there isn't football. And so losing all that, people are going to feel it. And that, you know, there's obviously people in the city who are staying in more and things like that, and people are making their own decisions on that and have to for you know, the vulnerable people who are directly connected to them. But yeah, the city's going to take a hit, and you know, these things have an effect. These things have a knock-on effect, and you know, a lot of businesses, as you say, are barely profitable. And you know, people think about our businesses make, you know, these business owners make loads of money and stuff like that. For a lot of people, that's not the case. You know, they might be earning less than what they would for the full-time job, but they do because they love it, and they do because they've got hopes of better times. But those better times aren't coming anytime soon, unfortunately, and a lot of people are going to be anxious. A lot of people are going to be worried, and yeah, it's scary and it's unprecedented, and we don't know what's going to happen next.
This is the EPL show. I've got Neil Atkinson, Paul Cope, me. I'm your host, Ben Johnson. We are going to delve into the realms of flat earthers again. A lot's gone on since the last time we've done the original Flat Earth show. We're sort of sitting here the other day thinking, there's a lot of parallels. Let's have another delve into it.
I've gone full circle on this in the past 12 months, because now I'm like, basically, you need stuff to do, and footy is a brilliant thing to do. And most people, humans love gathering round a charismatic leader, no matter what it is in history. And Klopp is that character for us. And he's created this gang where we genuinely get to say, not only are these brilliant at the game that we've all decided we want to watch, but they're sound as well. And in the middle of this sort of vacuum, a bit like what you're saying, of there's nothing else, this is well the best thing to do. I don't understand the whole, like, I mean, why is everyone so desperate to get footy back at times like this? But they're not asked about Greg's reopening. Are you like, well, Greg's isn't adding as much to the world as footy, surely. It means so much to us all. And what's wrong with that? I've come full circle on it. Like, what's wrong with it? It's sound.
I think it is sound. You think about what you're missing, and I think that a massive part of it is the gathering. So you can have a laugh. So you go and you have the great day and you have a lovely time. But what helps massively is winning. And at the minute, you're in a perfect scenario where obviously we're getting to win a lot of the time. We love them because, you know, you feel as though they do anything for you, so you do anything for them. You miss it really quite keenly. But we've just gone from having it at such a plane of existence where this thing that we've waited for 30 years, which feels like it's on the cards, which couldn't be more on the cards, like it's impossible for it to be more on the cards at that stage of the proceedings. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, but you've got to defer that. And you know it's still there. You know that they're going to do the thing that you've waited for 30 years, but it's now all massively different. And you're like, oh God, come on.
I'm sort of transported back to some of them feelings of like, fucking hell, are they messing here? We've got 30 years without winning the league. We're fucking whacking everyone every week. We've had the greatest ever start to a league campaign of any team in the fucking top six leagues of Europe. And in another world where coronavirus doesn't exist, Liverpool have won the league already, by the way. And we've had the day out where that's happening.
So, and we've you're asking me how I feel about this.
Yeah, how do you fucking feel? Because I feel like shite. Because anything that happens now is a watered-down version of what would have happened. It's not as good. There's no two ways about it. We win it behind closed doors, shite, because you can't go to the boozer and watch it. Ends up watching it in your house. And that's sad, but I won't be with any of my mates. I'll have a nice time, and I want that to happen because I want something to do, frankly. But still, shite. We get awarded it, shite. Because, you know, you'll be, I don't know, outside fucking cutting the grass or hoovering or having a shite, eating your tea, whatever you're doing in the house is not in work. After, you know, on a fucking exercise bike, whatever you're doing, and you get a text, oh, you've won that league, they give you it. Fucking sounds, yeah, great. Waited 30 years. May as well just fucking not bother with the whole fucking bang. Do you know what I mean? We're still, they scrap it. You don't get nothing. That's of shit, dickhead. Best season of your life.
Yeah, it never happened. Didn't exist.
We got United at home. We got Leicester away on Boxing Night. We got Wolves at home between Christmas and New Year. You know, you think about that run, Leicester at home, Leicester away on Boxing Night. Then the next night, City get beat by Wolves, and then we beat Wolves. You knew we'd won the league. Hmm. You went out like we'd won the league. I'm sorry, you weren't doing it right. Like, if anything, the thing that happens against United when Salah scores comes weeks, months too late. Maybe let it be a lesson to us to enjoy ourselves more. And not be precious about it.
When you look back and think how spoilt we were, that we were all sitting around for weeks and weeks and weeks, like arguing about how we'd like to win the league, and the world's there going, you're missing out some options here, lads. I've got an idea for you. How about you're all in your own houses by yourself on a video link? What? That sounds shit to me, universe. Can we go back to winning it in the ground?
The thing to hold together is imagine. Just that's what I always come back to when I'm having these knocking on about sessions in my head. Imagine the first game back.
Yeah.
Just imagine the first game back. The first bevy with your mates prior to going on the ground. The taxi up the ground. You know, everything about it.
Hello, it's the Weekender. It's John Gibbons. And footy is back. You were fist pumping Dan Morgan. I just caught you. It's great, isn't it? It's great to have a date.
Yeah, it is. It feels great that we've had the Bundesliga for a few weeks as well, because we get to sort of have it a bit more in terms of familiarity. It's not a complete unknown. So we know what type of football we're coming back into. I think there's been a huge surprise to many people, just how intense the games have been, how competitive they've been, how much the players have taken on their own responsibilities within that, and just how uplifting it's been for us in England. So you can't imagine what it's been like, you know, in the native Germany. I think it's It's been a massive boost for everyone who's invested in football in some form. I'm looking forward to it massively, I've got to say. I've got to say that, fingers crossed, the Premier League seems to have taken the time, followed a certain protocol, and now, you know, have the basis and the fundamentals in place. We've got a, you know, we've got a date now and we can all look to that.
It's interesting that Dan brings up the Bundesliga there, because quite a lot of the chat sort of coming out today, and I have found it quite interesting that the things that have slipped out of the room, if you will. I don't know who's been on the WhatsApps, but the Bundesliga very much has shown the way for the Premier League, both in terms of how they've been able to do it, but also that it's gone relatively smoothly. So we can talk about it, you know, as much as we want from it from a spectacle point of view, but just the fact that they've put football games on and it's been fine is a real positive for the Premier League.
Definitely. I was made up as soon as that first kickoff happened in the Bundesliga, because I thought they've shown that it's possible without any drama, and it's gone pretty much to plan. But also, I think there's an aspect of it where our league won't want to be seen to not be able to do it if Germany can, or
that's
not just
point,
Germany,
yeah.
You know, wherever. As soon as that happened, I thought we are in business, and it'll probably only be a few weeks before. Or the noises started changing straight away, and maybe they'd already been changing. The neutral venues thing completely, I don't remember that being announced that wasn't happening anymore, but that's just fallen by the wayside. I mean, the thing is that we need this, don't we, as Liverpool fans? It's difficult to put it all into words, because if you'd been told this last year, you obviously wouldn't have believed it. It's like a disaster film, isn't it, what's happened? And the football has been such a sidetrack thing that's been going on, running alongside the absolute disaster that's occurred. But at the same time, it's a massive thing. It's a massive part of our lives, and we do need this. And I think sort of feel bad about moaning about it and talking about how desperate I am for it to be back and for us to clinch the thing. It's laughable how close we are.
We're all happy today, aren't we, Stu? And it looks like City are going to play first. They're going to play on the 17th, so they're going to play these games in hand, get them out of the way on the 17th. If they slip up there, I mean, it could be first game back where Liverpool have got an opportunity to win that league title, which is, I'll use the term again, laughably close.
There's every chance that we could win it when we're not playing, or you know, we could edge closer to if City drop points, but it just doesn't feel in keeping with the way we do things and the way, you know, the universe conspires to make things happen for Liverpool. So maybe it's just my paranoia, but I think my paranoia is probably... It's probably fair, to be honest, because the universe has conspired against us in the most dramatic way recently. I don't necessarily anticipate us getting over the line in the first couple of games. As long as we just get over the line, that's all I care about. But I found myself, when I was looking at the fixtures earlier on, I found myself looking at, who do we play fourth? Who's the fifth game? Who's the sixth game? You know what I mean? Just in case we've got a little bit of the collie wobbles, or in case we're a bit rusty coming back, or, you know, because there is going to be this huge amount of expectation on us now. And if Liverpool don't win their first game, you know, that's all...
Stu, they've only just announced the fixtures and you've got to beat. Fucking hell, Dan, shut him up. Has this team ever looked like it even knows what the word collie wobbles is, Dan? Never mind fucking having them.
I've suddenly got in my head that we're going into Chelsea fucking needing to win by 2 goals or something. But I'm not sure I want this back now.
8 years of pain, this is.
Oh, mate. Fucking hell. We have 30 seconds of pain there listening to you.
It's the overview show. We've got fixtures today. That's the exciting news. Who knew such a thing would happen again in our lifetimes? The fixtures that have been announced today, there are six key games that are within them are very, very likely to decide the destiny of this season's league title. We know it's going, it's about when it's going to happen. Man City play Arsenal on the 17th of June on the resumption. Everton play Liverpool 4 days later on the Sunday. Burnley play City on the Monday. 24th, Liverpool play Palace. I think that's
it's a Wednesday.
On the Thursday is actually Chelsea City then. Finally, City play Liverpool on the 2nd of July. Steve, let's start with City-Arsenal. Does hope spring eternal here for Liverpool here that something good could happen?
I don't think so. I just can't see it. Liverpool could take 6 games to do this. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
And that would take a bit of a toll on Liverpool, I think. That's probably where your real asterisk starts to come from, which would be crazy when you think of how many points that would actually still translate to. But there would then be a sort of a bit of a narrative around the fact that Liverpool have taken a while to get this done.
John, let's just stop on the Derby game for a minute. Before the break, I was half dreading and relishing this. Obviously, the opportunity to achieve something historic or to get to the edge of it on their turf is the stuff of dreams for Liverpool fans. I can't get my head around how this is a Derby in any meaningful sense now.
No, I don't think it is. And I think, look, Everton have been the most vocal on the idea of scrapping the season, haven't they? So it's a brilliant derby, this one, in many ways, because they've sort of talked themselves out of being able to enjoy any aspect of it. I mean, they're just going to absolutely batter Everton.
I fucking can't wait now. That sounds brilliant. Burnley City comes just after our game. So if we don't beat the Blues and this thing's still in the balance... Is there a mad evening where we're watching what looks like a really unattractive game on paper, Burnley City, and going, well, fuck, look, we've won the league.
Whenever City play away at Burnley, they always seem to have a bit of trouble with it, but they generally always seem to get over the line somehow. So unless, I mean, maybe it's going to be one of those weird anomalies of the restart, but to be honest, no, I can't see.
We will play Palace. I'm trying to work out the days now. How long
Wednesday
after 24th, Burnley?
2 days.
It's the 2 days after that. So... I think that's the point. If we haven't won, we go, oh, surely now we win it. That was the game I think a lot of us had earmarked as our big night out in town. Is it, again, too cliche to say Palace have it in them to be party poopers?
It feels a little bit maybe like the Bournemouth game was a little bit like. It was the sort of most convincing, while not very convincing, narrow win that you could have. Yeah. I don't think there was ever going to be any other outcome in that game, but equally it wasn't like Liverpool put Bournemouth to the sword, and I think basically Palace will be able to give a good account of themselves, as it were, and I'm sure that's what their manager might say as well. Obviously there's the real fact that Liverpool may well not have beaten Everton, and therefore to a certain extent this could just be moot anyway. Then obviously if Liverpool have teed it up by beating Everton, I think there'll be almost an assumption then that it will happen.
I think if you ask the Liverpool players now, do you want City to win the two games that they need to win? They'd say yes. Because I think Liverpool want to win it while they play. I think they'll want that moment on the pitch, because they're not going to get it with supporters. They're not going to get a parade. They need the moment with the teammates. They need the moment of we've done this together and here it is and here's what it looks like. They'll want that moment. Chelsea, City. If Liverpool haven't done it on their own terms by the game against Palace, there's every chance that's when it gets taken out of their hands. I think if there's one in here, I think that's one to have your eye on.
If Liverpool have to go to City... do they go there feeling suddenly a bit more pressure than they would have otherwise felt? Or do they go there thinking, actually, this is how we would have always wanted it?
I think it's the latter, and I think that Klopp will be drumming that into them, that if something's gone wrong somewhere, well, don't worry, boys, this is what we want. We're going to go to their gaff, we're going to play them, and we're going to take the championship off them. Ultimately, if Liverpool can go there and win the league, I think you'll see a terrific game of football. Because I think the flip side is that if we've got it done and dusted, Klopp will have them saying, right, let's go there, swagger in, we're the champions, we're going to go and do them. And City will be, if anything, possibly even more gnarly at that point. And the gnarliness of the City side is its underrated capacity, its underrated value. So, yeah, for me, I think it'll be a really good game, full stop. But I do think if Liverpool needs something from it, it'll become a game that catapults itself into the stratosphere, whether or not the supporters in the ground.
That's extra wetted my already wet appetite.
I want your appetite soaking wet.
I'm so moist.
Don't even, it's the wrong wet.
I'm so moist, I'm ready, Neil.
Hiya, it is the team talk, and it is fantastic to be back. I was receiving a few tweets yesterday of people warming me up. So I've been practicing my hire overnight, been rehearsing it in the mirror a few times just in case I didn't get it right. But for those who don't know, for anyone who's joined us during the lockdown or anything like that, this is the team talk show. I am Josh Sexton. Jurgen Klopp has just held his pre-Everton press conference. It was a strange setup over Zoom. One of the interesting things around the sort of some of the questions that Jurgen was getting asked was about the intensity and things going into this, because, you know, we watched the Arsenal City game the other night and we saw that Arsenal had a few muscle injuries. Jurgen got asked about the 5 substitutes rule and things like that, and it feels like, you know, Liverpool should, going into this, be able to sort of offer the same intensity they've been able to offer before, because, you know, they've been able to be together like that.
You'd hope so, yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting one for who comes back sharp and who doesn't, because the rule book's almost been ripped up. You know, there was times where Liverpool couldn't meet up with each other and they were all sort of doing individual sessions, and then training was back, but they were in the small groups. So what can you do in 5 or 6? You know, I think for someone like Pep, he'd have really enjoyed it. Okay, how am I going to get the best of my players in these situations that are less than ideal? How am I going to try and create some intensity when it's so kind of strange. And I think for him, you know, he will have, you know, had his whole team really would have been the challenge for them. And I think it's fair to say that some clubs will have done it better than others. Obviously for Liverpool, we've got this very obvious motivation as well of not just the Merseyside derby, but being two games away from Premier League champions. And so, and it wouldn't surprise me if the teams who look sharpest are the ones who've got the most riding on it, because for them, the players will have been from day one, and in terms of the training, they'd have been at it as much as possible.
Nomani, one of the interesting things, obviously, around the sort of five substitutions rule we saw the other night as well, that they're doing the water breaks at halfway through each half, is it's almost like, you know, teams are going to have to sort of decide their own intensities. And luckily, that's one thing that Liverpool are very, very good at, is dictating the tempo of games, dictating their own intensity. And that's sort of one thing that I almost expect to see from them heading into this next part of the season.
Yeah, I think for us, definitely, unlike a lot of teams, like we have a hard time slowing down, trying to get our players to kind of try to go like 80% or 70% or just ease into things. I mean, it definitely feels like our biggest priority should be to clinch the title and then not have any injuries going into next season. We're going to have a short break in this summer. People aren't even really talking about, you know, what preseason is going to look like and things like that. So for us, I think, you know, maintaining our fitness, doing the business against Everton, you know, checking off this box, let's say, I mean, it doesn't feel like a derby week, does it? Especially for you guys, like at home, it's definitely a challenge, but I think we're going to see some more innovation, because if there's one thing Jurgen Klopp does is innovate, and he's talked a lot about bringing in some of the youngsters into the side. I'm going to have ultimate positivity. I think that we're professionals and we're just going to do the job. And then after that, we're going to get to see some fun things and really kind of enjoy being champions, because it's on the horizon.
Absolutely. Well, I think we'll round off with score predictions, and John, I'll come to you first for your prediction for the game.
I think we'll win comfortable, actually. I'll go 3-0.
3-0, Neil.
I think Everton might get one, but I think the Reds will score three. So I'll go 3-1. But it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if it was more.
Imani, you've been positive throughout. I'm relying on a big prediction from you here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. You know, half of me wants to say like some ridiculous like 5-2, but I'm going to go 4-1, because I think once the floodgates open, they're going to have a hard time keeping us out of goal. I mean, these gentlemen have waited a long time to get back on the pitch. It is their whole lives. We're going to see something beautiful on Sunday.
It's the post-match show. It's John Gibbons after Liverpool's frustrating 0-0 draw away at Everton. I'll start with you, Stu. It's hard, isn't it? Because we'd obviously built this game up. We'd waited so long. You know, there was the anticipation. Will we even come back then when we do? And we've talked a lot about how we imagine this to be in our heads and how we imagine this game to be in our heads. Wasn't that rubbish?
Yeah, it was. It was terrible. It's just an anti-climax, isn't it? After waiting for 3 months, I'm not sure I'm not going to be the one to help you and lift your spirits, John, to be honest, because I feel very similar. Waited a long time. The excitement's been building, even all day, really, being the last game on, and such a late game on a Sunday is unusual. And yeah, you know, not only we've not been able to do the job there, we've come away with some injuries as well, which is really frustrating. I think there's still a little bit of a mystery question mark over Salah, and the fact that he didn't get any minutes at all. Maybe that was just because of the injuries and the way the game took shape in the end. But so that was a shame, and I can't really remember us causing too much or carving them open, particularly very much during the game. And if anything, really, they've had the best chances.
Pickford's not had the save to make, has he, Paddy? And we had 70% of possession, I believe, but that's all well and good, but you've got to do something with it. And we didn't today, and that's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, I think the frustrations come from as well, the fact that, I mean, Everton will get a lot of credit coming out of it, and fair enough, they have defended well at times, but it's one of them where you feel like the game's there for us to take at the scruff of the neck and really go for it. And I think the substitutions killed us, and the manager might get a bit of stick for them, because it did seem like he had the option of these five substitutions and went a bit mad with them. But then, as we always say, like, he'll know more than us. He'll know where they're at sports science-wise and not wanting to pick up injuries. And that's one of the things that we very rarely do. So as much as we thought Minamino and Keita were playing really well, they might have had to have come off because of, well, he knows how many minutes they've got in the legs and we don't. But it seemed they killed us, because first half, going into half-time, we look likely to score, whereas 10, 15 minutes into the second half, that seemed to have faded a bit, and we didn't really look like scoring. I think that's where the frustration stems from, because I think they were there for the taking today, and we just couldn't manage to create enough for it to happen, really.
Neil Docking, mate, we could do with the most electrifying man in podcast entertainment here. Bring us up. Tell us why it's all fine.
Shite, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, get off. Kick him out.
I can't tell a lie.
You lie all the time, Neil. You can't sleep straight.
No, I mean, honestly, it's not the end of the world, is it? It's frustrating. We waited so long to see them, and then it's sort of sod's law we get a game like that. But Goodison derbies are always shit, aren't they? With the odd exception, even the ones we win, we've sort of nicked, haven't we? And I always think with Jurgen's Liverpool, we always look a bit rusty when we've had time off. We never seem to return sharp from a break. We seem very much a team that relies on rhythm and momentum. And this has been an even longer break than normal. It's a strange game to watch. It must have been a strange game for the players. There can't have ever been a derby like this before. Because everything the derby's about, we didn't see tonight, did we really? It wasn't really even that feisty on the pitch, was it? There was a couple of naughty tackles either side, but I just want to win the league now. I almost feel like I've got to the point where I just want it won. I don't really care how.
Thursday night, Neil, I've told you.
Yeah.
Hiya, it's the team talk. I'm Josh Sexton. Jurgen Klopp has just held his pre-Crystal Palace press conference, and Ian Robbo referenced it before about, you know, this idea that it's starting to creep into the minds that, you know, City could catch us now. And Jurgen Klopp was asked about it in his press conference. You know, it's actually my favourite moment of it, where he just sort of says that any comment they'd make into a bollocks headline. But it is important though, isn't it, that for Jurgen and the players to have the attitude of, look, we don't care what City do. We're going to go and win our games and get this over the line. And I think that's a mentality which has got them to this point as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that about the manager, that he just doesn't give a shit. City could have won, you know, 20-0 against Burnley. It wouldn't have changed the points difference. They're still only getting 3 points for a win. There's absolutely no chance that Liverpool don't do this. They will get over the line. I'd like it to be sooner rather than later for obvious reasons. You know, it takes the pressure off. You know, you don't want to suddenly find yourself not getting the results against Crystal Palace, and then it rolls on. We talk a lot about what we're going to do and, you know, will we win it by playing, but we already know there's a chance Liverpool could win the league without playing football. I'd kind of forgotten about the City-Chelsea game on the Thursday, to be honest. Now, that could change it at some point in the very near future. Liverpool get this over the line.
It looks like James Milner and Matip are going to miss out on this one. I was expecting sort of Gomez to return centre-half, as you'd expect. I'm half expecting Wijnaldum to come back into midfield. I'm expecting Salah back in there, Robertson back in there as well. And I think you should sort of be able to see the difference in how much sharper Liverpool will be in this game, I think.
I think the midfield, I think he'll keep two of the three that he started with, and I don't know who they'll be. I presume it'll be Henderson and Keita. That's what I think, because I think Keita looked quite good, and probably the bit of criticism, if you want to call it that, for Klopp was probably taking Keita off at the point he did. So I'd like him to start Henderson and Keita, maybe have Genie come in. But you know what, it might be a game for Oxlade-Chamberlain. I know it's not at home with the fans, but you know, at home against Crystal Palace might be the right game to put him in. Definitely not in the front three. I agree with you, Ian. I think he goes missing in the front three. But I hope Salah's back. I hope Robertson's back, because they're really integral to the balance of the team, and you'll see a huge difference with them both in.
Ian, you're going to have to cast your mind back to the past team talks you've done, though, and remember that this point is the point where we do the score predictions, and give us your prediction for this Palace game.
I think it'll be a win. Roy Hodgson will probably make it difficult, in the sense that I watched them against Bournemouth and they were quite good, but we're not Bournemouth. I still think we'll have plenty, and I think we'll win 2-0.
Lizzie, your prediction for the game?
I'm gonna go for a bit more of a tighter win. 2-1.
Gareth?
I think we see a step up in Liverpool in this game from what we saw in the last game. As Ian said, you know, Palace did look all right, but it's against Bournemouth. Bournemouth are farts. You know, like they're too easily beaten. And I'm gonna go with the chestnut, 3-0.
It's the post-match show. Liverpool 4, Crystal Palace 0. Liverpool were glorious. We all feel amazing. They said Liverpool were going to limp to this title. They said Liverpool were going to fall over the line. This Liverpool side have just put on one of the best performances by any team in Europe this season. They've absolutely battered Crystal Palace, and they've shown exactly what they're about, which is they are no doubt the best team in England.
Of course we have. We've absolutely reminded everyone exactly what we're all about. A lot of the early games that we've seen in this new sort of set of fixtures have been quite dry, haven't they? Quite dull. Not that tonight from the Reds. absolutely came out of the blocks. There was a real zip, wasn't there, to our play. And we just took Palace to the cleaners and made Roy Hodgson and his men look like a bunch of clowns. And I think everyone can get behind that as an ideal.
Yeah, Kev, I reckon it was 15 seconds before I knew it was different.
We were fucking boss. That's the top, middle and bottom of it. We were fucking brilliant. From minute one, as you say, through to minute 90. Minute one, you start watching, thinking, what is it going to be the same as Sunday? Was it fuck? It was absolutely, we just ruled the park left, right and centre. From minute one doing that to minute 90 when Nico Williams has come on and he's like, fuck's sake, why haven't I scored yet? You know what I mean? On the pitch, 5 minutes on his Premier League debut, you know what I mean? It was absolutely brilliant. And I'm made up we've put a performance like that in after the derby. It's like, I'm convinced now we're going to win the league tomorrow and I hope we do. And I think we'll probably go on and get a league title at a league record number of points as well, because we were fucking absolutely fantastic tonight. It was such a joy to watch.
So none of you has been on hot mic now. That sound all right. I'm sure you'll all be on tomorrow, the City-Chelsea game. And that becomes big now, Kevin. Becomes one where we can just enjoy it and just see what happens, you know, because it's when, not if, right at the start of this. It's even more so now. It's 2 points. It's one result, you know, away. And I'm not bothered when it comes now, but I'd love it tomorrow. I'd love the fact that we get to enjoy this performance and then roll on to tomorrow and then maybe some party on Friday.
Honestly, like I said to my half-fella before, I don't want to win tonight and then City lose tomorrow. And I swear, the second that the match kicked off, I was like, I hope we fucking led at these and I hope Chelsea beat City 455-0. Once you start watching Liverpool, like, we're really back, and you realise that a performance like that could be the last one as non-champions, you know what I mean? That's sort of the one that crowns us champions. And then tomorrow night, for as long as I can remember, I've been saying, I don't want it to be when we're not playing. If City do lose it, it sort of deadens the blow of us not being in the ground anyway.
I just want it put down on record. I'm still on the Etihad bandwagon.
Fuck that tomorrow. I'm all out tomorrow. I've got 10 red smoke bombs in ours, which I'm to be honest, I'm tempted to let off now just in favour of Nico Williams.
Craig Cannon sent one of his off already today.
Well cleared though by Chelsea.
That's a bigger.
Could be on here. Could be on here. He can run him. Can he run him all the way? He doesn't back him. Pulisic has got it. He's in. He's one on one. He's one on one. It's 1-0. It's 1-0. Chelsea 1, Manchester City 0. And it's a pig's ear at the back from Manchester City. And Pulisic takes advantage of it. They've been the architects of their own downfall all season, Manchester City. They've been inconsistent. They've been making mistakes like that. Pulisic has absolutely punished them, Andy. And right now, the title is even closer to being in the trophy cabinet at Anfield. To a counter here. William does brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. He gets held by De Bruyne. He can go all the way here, Willie, and he's got them absolutely on the back foot. Can he pick anything off?
Oh.
It comes back to him again. It comes to Abraham. Is it over the line? How is it not over the fucking line?
No.
Is it not, how is it not over the line? For fuck's sake, referee, you tell me at no point it goes over the line.
Did they say the Claverham ball as well? The Claverham ball.
It's a good save from Edison. Edison palms it against. Oh. Fernandinho's got it there. He palms it away. Come on.
That's handball. That's handball.
He just punches it away.
I mean, fair play to him for thinking he might get away with that.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I mean, it's really good from Abraham, to be fair. It's remarkably agricultural, John, for a game of this level, where the way that all ends up. It's a proper scramble. It's got to be given.
It's going to go off here. It's going to go off. Oh, come on. It's fat ball. What are you still looking at?
Fernandinho genuinely looks like a man who's guilty. Yes! Yes!
Yes! It's deliberate to hurt.
William,
I feel nice about William.
Get him!
Brilliant. That's a huge goal. It's a huge goal for Chelsea, but it's more importantly for us, it's a huge goal for Liverpool. And City are down to 10, don't forget, as well. And big Frank. Frank can come to parade.
Oh, Frank can come to parade. We're so, so close. We're so, so close.
He's toppled the Giants. It's you know, this the smoke bomb's going off in my garden, mate.
Is he going to give it?
The smoke bomb's going off in my garden.
Come on, referee, blow. Put everyone out of the misery. Put everyone out of the misery. It comes over to Manchester City. Manchester City right now are champions of England, and in seconds they won't be, and Liverpool will be. It's gone all the way through to Edison. It's going off everywhere. There's police vans in our road. There's fireworks going off. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So everyone's been waiting for it. Everyone's been waiting weeks and months and so many years. It's done, John. Liverpool are champions.
Honestly, I can't see the garden now. It's unreal. The mini, you know, it's brilliant. I'm literally got smoke in my eyes. Fucking hell. Champions.
Liverpool the champions.
Fuck these bricks off. Van Dijk. Who wants to see these bricks? Fucking not even shake hands. Get to form me all.
Honestly, get cameras up for me all right now.
It's the post-match show. I've dreamed of this moment. Liverpool have won the English Premier League. It feels unreal. Liverpool have done it without having to play, but they've played so well all season. They've been unbelievable. They've been by far the greatest team the world has ever seen this year. And I can't quite believe it. We're starting a little bit late. So I've been out the back listening to fireworks. I've been out the front with cars just driving past them. I'm on Madder Avenue and it's lively, I think it is fair to say. And the whole city is determined to enjoy it because it's been too long. But we're finally here. Jay McKenna, how's Bool?
I'm in Waterloo, mate, so Bool, I fucking don't know.
It's all fucking North End, dude. It's all North End. How's Sefton?
mate, it's flying in a field. Sefton is alive. Mate, it's fucking Sefton boss. It's something. People are just happy, mate. And it's not the same. We knew we were winning it for ages, but we get to enjoy it so much, just so differently, but almost like, I don't know, richer, deeper, I don't know. Like, I went up before and the people across the street, I haven't even seen them, even on the doorstep thing, yeah. Really clapping everything, right? We better be fucking going out every fucking Wednesday now and clapping for fucking Chelsea. William penalties are getting clapped like there's no tomorrow for me. Mate, it's fucking special. We've waited forever for this. All of our lifetimes, every one of us on this have waited for this, and it's here now. We've done it. We have won the league. We've won the fucking European Cup. We're the world champions. We are. Don't just, we've won the game. We've completed it. Just no one can take this away from us.
It's funny, Phil, because we've been saying, you know, for the last week or so or month that, oh, it won't be quite as good. I can't imagine feeling better than this. I can't imagine a better celebration. Honestly, everywhere I walk at the moment in South Liverpool, there's a party going on. There's a different sort of party going on. And I want to be in amongst it, but I want to come and talk to yous. But I also want to be on the telly to hear what the boys are saying. I want to be here, there, and everywhere.
There were people talking about sort of anti-climaxes, and that's not an anti-climax, really, is it? I mean, it's just different. Like, I think it's, in the circumstance, I think we're in a better situation. I think it's almost more enjoyable when it's, there's literally zero chance of me being in the ground for Chelsea versus Manchester City, for example. And I sort of feel a little bit happier about everything, because there would have been a sort of, if we'd have won it at City, there would have been a nagging thing. Like, that's something that you can probably never, ever do again. I mean, I'm absolutely delighted. It's not like you, it sounds like you're picking ways to win league titles, which is obviously a bit ridiculous, but it's just, it's great either way. I mean, after this long, after, I would have taken anything. I'd have taken a 0-0 draw between West Ham and Manchester City on a Tuesday afternoon while I was doing a crossword or something. I don't really care. Anything's brilliant, isn't it?
Ian, talk to me, gorgeous.
I mean, oh my word. I mean, given people will say it's different because you can't celebrate it in the same way. I'm telling you right now, people are celebrating number 19 far more than they did 18. I was there when they fucking won number 18, albeit a little kid. 28th of April, QPR, they beat them 2-1, and everyone just kind of walked out like it was a done thing, and you'll see them again next year, it'll happen again next year. That's the way it was. Everyone just thought that winning run would just continue and continue, and then there you go. You go fucking 30 years, we're at a title win, and then tonight it's just, the emotion is insane, to be honest. It's been worth the wait, give out 30 fucking years, but we got there in the end.
We were a little bit late coming onto this, Jay, for a host of reasons, but partly because we wanted to know what Jürgen was saying, and we wanted to know what Jordan was saying, and they were visibly emotional, and it was lovely because it means as much to them as it does to us. And see both of those, both Jürgen and Jordan, they'd obviously been crying, and that just shows the football club's got into them and has got under their skin and got them emotionally in. It got me emotional too. It got me in the feels, Jay.
Wait, I'm a crier. I was expecting to be crying, but as I say, I feel delirious more than anything. But I haven't been emotional. But watching them, it does show it means something to them. It isn't just a job. It isn't just a game of football. They are committed to this. They are passionate. They care like we do. And they get it. They feel it. And of course, it won't feel the same. They haven't grown up being a Liverpool fan like us. They haven't grown up waiting for fucking Liverpool to win the league. Their dads didn't like instill it in them. You didn't fucking talk about it all day, every day. It wasn't your life, but it is their life now. And they've properly bought into it. Klopp has. They know what it means. I talked to Paul Rice here, and Paul was the chair of the Spirit of Shankly for ages. This woman,
a wonderful man.
They're the people you miss on this journey. There's people who, for the last 10, 20, 30 years, whatever happened at Liverpool, have been the lads who've gone to match, the fellas who've made Liverpool what it was, so that all us can fucking sit here now and get to see them win the league. And even not even the people you've missed, the people that you would usually see out the match. The bit I'll miss about not being able to also celebrate this will be that walking out the ground. Fellas who you haven't got a fucking clue what their name is, where they live, where they work, what they even think. And there's that nod. Then people you see and you just have that nod. And you know what? We're going to spend the next 3 months through the summer walking around town, and you're going to bump into some of these random people, and there's just going to be that nod, and your missus is going to say to you, who's that? And you're going to go, just fell off from the match. I'm watching it. We won't see some people, but we'll enjoy it. That'll all just play out in the next few months. There'll be moments where you'll just think of people, which will be boss. I hope people are listening to this maybe thinking the same, that, you know, there's little bits. The people they rang after the match, like you did, Gibbo, I'm sure, you know, probably held your lad, you probably rang a mate, you think of your dad, I'm sure, and stuff like that, do you know what I mean? It's stuff like that, it's those moments that I think for lots of people is like, it all comes home at times like this.
Listen, nice one to the boys, nice one for you, sticking with us tonight. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to Jay for mentioning me dad, that was really nice. And yeah, I thought about my dad today, obviously, and I hope all of you have thought about people who... you'd love to be with tonight, so you can't be, but let's celebrate the ones we're with. Let's love each other and love our friends. I'm going to go up the leads.
We're about to watch Liverpool finally lift that beautiful Premier League trophy.
Can you actually believe that we're sat here right now about to watch Jordan Henderson do his little dance? We're about to see the moment we've been waiting for 30 years, and I can't quite get my head around it.
Siobhan, like a night out with me, this is as real as it gets.
This feels like New Year's Eve when you've got to find someone to snog.
The last time the Liverpool won the league, I was 11 years old. I walked out into my back garden, kicked the ball around. It was the most normal thing in the world. I thought it was going to last forever. And here we are 30 years later, and oh my God, I'm on the verge of tears again. And I'm just so excited to see Jordan now do his shuffle, lift that trophy, and make us all scream.
Jordan Henderson has just appeared.
I'm sorry. It's so exciting.
Watch Jordan. I can die happy man now.
It's incredible. He did the shuffle. He pretended he wasn't going to. Then, like a great showman he is, Stu, he pulled it out.
He is the showman, the ultimate showman. Who knew that Jordan Henderson was going to be our showman? The fireworks are going off. The music's going off. The light show's going off. It's incredible. My shirt's coming off. My kecks are coming off.
Take it off.
Yeah. It was everything you wanted and more, Siobhan.
Yeah, this is absolutely mad. I think enough has been said about his contribution to the football club, but there'll never be enough said about his just how great a man he is and how he has done more than anyone could ever ask of him. And I can't even get my words together because I'm getting a bit overwhelmed here. But if anyone deserves it, it's that lad. The shit that lad's had. It's quite incredible to be watching this. And I mean, it's amazing that, like, I hope everyone who's listening to this are with, you know, the people they love or with the friends and family and are able to celebrate in the way that we can. You know, we didn't get the moment that we we would have liked. And, I mean, you'll never walk in going on. It's just, it's just really emotional to watch all these players and to watch Jordan Henderson lift this trophy. It's absolutely incredible.
It's Stu, just a word on Jurgen Klopp. He's come in and done everything that
We wanted him to, everything we dreamed of, he'd do, and more.
I don't think that there are any words, and I'm not going to try too hard, there are no words that really can describe the effect that he's had on his football club. But FSG talk about transformational signings. Well, he was the most transformative signing that Liverpool could have ever made.
His reaction to everything is a completely human reaction, and it's not just a human reaction, but it's our human reaction. He is politically where you'd want him to be. His response to COVID is exactly where you'd want it to be. Everything where he is required to be more than just a coach of, you know, a squad of men. He never, ever lets you down. And now here he is, waving his arms from left to right like he's at the rave 15 minutes of a Bongos bingo session. He gives us everything we've ever asked for. And I just, there's no words, like, and you can't overcomplicate it. He is just everything you could ever have asked for. Just go back on YouTube and watch that West Brom 2-2 draw and watch him when he takes them to the cop. Well, I tell you what, that was the starting point for what you're seeing on the telly right now. You're seeing Alisson, you're seeing Fabinho, you're seeing Andy Robertson, you're seeing Firmino, you're seeing Shaqiri, you're seeing every single one of these players. And it started at that West Brom game at 2-2. Jurgen Klopp made us believe that this could happen. And we're here now.
Jurgen Klopp made us believe we're seeing the champagne being sprayed, we're seeing the fireworks. I hope you've loved it wherever you are. I hope you like the slightly raucous, slightly unusual pink, but we wanted to share this trophy lift with all you, and I'm really glad we did. Listen, up the Reds, up the fucking Premier League winners, up the fucking champions. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Sports Social Podcast Network.